Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches Scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Shalom, shalom, saints. As you all can see, we are looking very different in House of Israel than we normally look, and that's because we are experimenting with our lights. So just bear with us as we get our lighting situated. And in the meantime, just want to welcome all of you who are here. Those of you who are joining us online, we certainly appreciate you joining in with us. It has been our goal to get through the books of the Bible, specifically the Gospels and the Torah. And today, we are in Numbers chapter 24, and we're going to be talking about Balaam. We started this conversation with Balaam in chapter number 22. And this is chapter 24, where we're going to see that Balaam is going to speak some parables. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 25 as we discuss Balaam and the spirit of Jehovah. For those of you who are on our website, just want to take a moment and show you something here. Some of you have already seen it. But on the watch page, which is where we're broadcasting from on our website, at the top of that page, you'll see where you can subscribe for announcements, for inspiration, and for weekly updates. If you have not subscribed to our website, we encourage you to do so. And that way, when we go live and when we send out notifications, you will be in the loop. If you joined with us for the eighth day, either in person or online, if you remember, we closed out the last feast with making the commitment to participate in the upcoming feasts. And those upcoming feasts start, one, with the biblical New Year, and then the 14-day count up to Passover and Unleavened Bread. And so what we've done is that we are already encouraging people, while you're there on the website, you can actually RSVP. Although we don't know the dates yet, you can RSVP for Passover and the Feast of Jehovah. And we encourage you to do that. If you scroll down to the bottom of that page or close to the bottom, you'll see a banner that says the Feast of Jehovah. That particular banner has all of the feasts of 2023 on that page. And so from the eighth day, which is the last, all the way back to Passover, and some photographs that we took during that particular gathering. And so with that said, just want to, again, encourage you to subscribe to the website and encourage you also to RSVP for our Passover celebration and Unleavened Bread. We're currently in the eighth biblical month, and so we are a few short months away from the new year, and this will give you plenty of time to make the necessary preparations so that you can attend with brothers and sisters here at House of Israel. Tomorrow night, we will be broadcasting our Sabbath premiere, and we're going to be dealing with part three of the teaching on offenses, offended and offending, and of course, dealing with offense. And then on Sabbath, we're going to be looking at the subject of marriage and divorce. And so really encourage you to stay tuned tomorrow night as we broadcast our Sabbath premiere, and then, of course, for our live holy convocation on Sabbath morning. Now, for those of you on YouTube, you can subscribe there on YouTube. And, of course, also what we've done, for those of you who have been encouraged to subscribe to the website, is we are making video podcasts from our YouTube teachings. And so there on the website, you can look under Listen, that tab, and you'll come to Video Podcast, and the video podcast there will bring you to this particular page, which have a variety of our teachings, and including clips and shorts that we brought over from YouTube. Now, if you're on our YouTube page, we encourage you, and I think, let's see, yeah, you can, I keep changing my page, but maybe not. We'll get there. But if you're on our YouTube page, you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, and there you can watch our YouTube teachings. We encourage you to come over to the website, because at the end of this teaching, we're going to be giving an opportunity for questions, answers, and, of course, prayer. So if you have a question you want to ask, you can ask that question on our watch page. You can subscribe there as well. Now, in the teaching tonight, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, we're going to be looking at Numbers 24. And before we get there, just a couple of other things that I want to share with you. One, I want to go through our vision. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. As always, we encourage people to make sure that when you're speaking, especially when you're speaking over yourself or over your family, be mindful of the words that you speak. If you're going to be making declarations, using your mouth to create or using your mouth to speak things, then you want to make sure that what you're using your mouth to speak is beneficial to you. And so for that reason, we have this declaration of Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father, as we've assembled ourselves here today, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the instructions that you give us. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities we have to go through your word. And as we go through, especially here in Numbers, as we're going through Numbers chapter 24, we're asking you, Father, specifically to give us eyes to see, to give us ears to hear, to speak to our hearts, to speak to our minds, to illuminate us that we might see the things you will have us to see, and that we might hear the things that you will speak into our heart, our mind, our spirit. We thank you, Father, that there are so many examples that are given to us in the Word. And as we're studying Balaam, a person who really had no relationship with you, we see that you, in your sovereignty, is able and capable of speaking even through people who don't know who you are. How much more are you able to speak to those of us who confess your name in Yeshua? And so we're thankful, Father, that you are demonstrating to us through the examples of Scripture how we, Father, can be in tune with you, how we can hear your voice, how you can lead us and guide us and show us those things that are yet to come, even as you did this particular individual who did not know you. And so bless us in this study tonight. Give us the ability again to comprehend those things that you revealed to us. And we just thank you. We thank you. We decree no weapons formed against us shall prosper. We pray for your perfect will to be accomplished, for your kingdom to come and to be established, grounded, and rooted solidly in our hearts and in our minds. Be glorified in us in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So again, we are looking at Numbers chapter 24. We're going to go through these 25 verses. We're going to look at some verses that we've already looked at, and we're going to look ahead just a little bit, because there's some things that Balaam is going to say in this particular chapter that is going to manifest itself in the next chapter, but we're not going to see or read what Balaam said. However, this chapter reveals to us, according to the 31st chapter, that what is taking place in this particular chapter is going to manifest it. So I encourage you to really pay close attention, because like much of the word, there are some things that are hidden, but they're there if we have eyes to see. And it's my prayer that Father will allow us to see those things tonight. Balaam, the diviner, had an experience with the divine that caused him to take a totally different approach, which was contrary to his character. Now, in chapter 1, or in chapter 24, verse 1, we're going to see that the scripture is going to tell us that Balaam is going to see something that he did that actually pleased Jehovah. From there, Balaam's next words to Balak, the king who had implored him to curse Israel, was deeply troubled, resulting in Balaam getting fired and sent back to his own country without pay. And this is going to be where you will see that someone is actually negotiating a agreement between another person who is going to go back on their word and not fulfill what they have agreed to. The story of Balaam is known and referenced by several authors from Genesis to Revelation. And what we saw in chapter 22, and then we repeated in chapter number 23, we're going to repeat again here in chapter number 24. Now, Balaam's story, as we know, begins in chapter 22 when he was hired by Balak to curse Israel. And as we talked last week, you can't curse Israel, that teaching title. We see that what Father has blessed, no man can curse. And that's important for us to recognize, because when we come into relationship with the Most High, we become the blessed of Jehovah. You are blessed whether you know it, whether you feel like it or not, because of our relationship with Him. The only person, the only one who has the authority to curse us is the one who blessed us. No man can curse what the Almighty has blessed, but Jehovah can withdraw His blessings if He so chooses to do so. Balaam was known by several terms, and it's important because teachers have taught, people that I've heard have spoken as if Balaam was a prophet of Jehovah. Now, there's certain words that are spoken that would give people that impression, but the fact that the way Balaam approached the Almighty indicates that he did not have a relationship with Him as his prophets did. And so Balaam was known as an enchanter, a diviner, a soothsayer. He was categorized as a false prophet. He was one who loved the wages of wickedness, indicating that he was all about the dollar. He was all about the money. He was all about the profit. What Balaam did was specifically for himself. An enchanter, he's identified in the first verse, which goes back to chapter 23. It says, "And when Balaam saw that it pleased Jehovah to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments," telling us that those times that he went into the presence of Jehovah or he sought Jehovah, it was for the purpose of an enchantment. Now, anybody who know, Jehovah's prophets never approached him like that. But Balaam didn't have that kind of relationship. And so when he saw that it pleased Jehovah, and something he did in chapter 23, whereas the Almighty spoke through Balaam, and of course Balak had an issue with it, but at the same time, he spoke blessings over Israel. This was pleasing to the Almighty, and that changed his approach when he went to the Most High. In verse 7 of Numbers 22, it says, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination." So here, Balak gives these elders the instructions to go and find Balaam. And they took the money that if Balaam agreed to come and work and do what was required, his reward was called the rewards of divination. That was his wage. And so they took his wage, the rewards of divination, in their hands, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Now, Joshua refers to Balaam as a soothsayer in Joshua 13:22. We looked at this in chapter number 22 when we went through Balaam, Balak, and the children, or Balak, Balak, and Israel. Balaam, verse 22, Joshua 13, also the son of Beor, so we see we're talking about the same person, the soothsayer. This is how Joshua knew of him. Now, remember, Joshua was Moses' servant. Joshua was the one who served with Moses and then was given the responsibility to take the children of Israel into the promised land after the death of Moses. So Balaam or Joshua was fully knowledgeable and aware of the works of Balaam after the fact. Israel did not know that Balak had hired Balaam for the purpose of pronouncing curses over them, but later found out because Jehovah revealed it to them. Balaam was categorized as a false prophet, and this goes into the New Testament writings of 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there will be false prophets or false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions. And so Peter opens up 2 Peter verses 1 and 2 with those words. Verse 2, he says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And then later in that verse, he brings in Balaam. They have left the straight way, verse 15, and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. And basically, he's saying that Balaam was a servant for hire. In today's terminology, one may even refer to Balaam in the type as a hireling. This is a person who works in the service of the church, if you would, in the service of Jehovah for wage, for pay. Balaam was known as one who loved the wages of wickedness, as we just saw in 2 Peter. Balaam was forbidden to curse Israel and was faced with death by the angel of the Lord that Balaam's eyes saw plainly, but Balaam could not see. Now, after getting Balaam's attention by speaking through the ass, and Balaam's response to facing death, were it not for the ass, Balaam was committed to only speaking what Jehovah gave him to speak, although he was employed by Balak to curse Israel. So here is the scenario. Balak sends, hires Balaam. Balaam tells Balak that he can only speak what Jehovah give him to speak after Balaam's encounter with Jehovah. But that did not stop Balak from hiring Balaam, even though Balaam explained to Balak he can only speak what he had been given. Verse 18, Numbers 22. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak will give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Jehovah, my God. Now this indicates that Balaam served Jehovah, but Balaam didn't know Jehovah. And so the term, the language gives the impression that Balaam's God was Jehovah, but we know that Balaam comes from Pethor, which we're going to see in a moment, which we saw in chapter 22, which was in Mesopotamia, and the people of Mesopotamia did not know Jehovah. This was the land that Abraham was told to leave that country and his father's house, and Jehovah's going to take him into a land that he would know once he got there. Now, fast forward back to 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Jehovah to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. So if you read chapter 22 and chapter 23, you will see that there was a process that Balaam went through. Balak and Balaam, they built seven altars. How many times? Three times. Three times they built seven altars. They sacrificed on those altars, but they were not sacrificing unto Jehovah. And then while Balak and the princes stood by those sacrifices, Balaam went to inquire of Jehovah. But what he went to do was seek Jehovah for enchantments. His means of communicating his service was in soothsaying, in divining, in trying to inquire of whatever God in the region that was over that particular region to get a word from that God. And so that was Balaam's forte. That's how he did what he did. And when he saw that he pleased Jehovah, he stopped seeking him for enchantments. Now that Balaam is in a position to not use divination or soothsaying or enchantment, we're going to see in the next few verses that the spirit of Jehovah is now going to come on Balaam. And here, he did not go as he did in other times, verse 1. Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased Jehovah to bless Israel, he saw something that caused him to approach Jehovah differently than he had at other times. Now, remember, at the end of chapter 23, it is written in verse 29, and Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. However, in the previous times he asked him to do that, when Balaam got what Balaam received, he returned to Balak and began to speak. In this particular case, he gives him that instruction, but he set his face now toward the wilderness because he's gotten Jehovah's attention. He saw that what he did pleased Jehovah, and he changed his approach. Sometimes, just in hindsight, we have to, if how we are approaching the Almighty is not working, if how we are going into his presence is not putting us in the position to hear from him, then we need to change our approach. Now, one of the things that I did in How to Hear God's Voice in that four-part series, I shared with you all several things about how the Almighty taught me how to come into his presence. And a couple of things that I said had to do with the fact that when you have found a place that the Almighty speak to you and you go someplace else inquiring of him and you don't hear his voice, it's wise to go back to the place where he spoke to you before. If there is a place that he has spoken to you, then there's a good chance that if he won't speak to you anyplace else, then the place he has spoken to you is the place he will speak to you again. So from this point forward, no more altars, no more sacrifices. Balaam is not going to build any more altars. He's not going to make any more sacrifices. He's not going to instruct Balak to do it, because Balak, as we know, were not one who served Jehovah. Balaam was not one who served Jehovah. And we asked the question, when they were building these altars and offering these sacrifices, who were they offering the sacrifices to? Which is a good question. So, in verse 2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes. Now, prior to this, if you remember, Balak took Balaam to the place for Balaam to look and see Israel. And so we saw that he took Balaam to several different locations in chapter 23 and in chapter 22 to get a view of Israel from a different perspective. But now this time, he's not following Balak. He's lifting up his eyes and he's seeing Israel himself. And what does he see? He saw Israel abiding in their tents according to their tribes. Now, as we've gone through Numbers, we saw how Jehovah set Israel up, how they would go forward. And they were in particular areas to the west, east, certain tribes in the north, the south, the west, the east. Moses and the priests and Levites in the center. And when the silver trumpet blew, certain things would happen. If it blew once, the princes would come. If it blew twice and it was alarm, they were getting ready to go to battle and there was a blow for them to move. And that was when the cloud moved. So they were in a particular arrangement, and Balaam saw them abiding according to their tribes. And when he saw that, the Bible says here in verse 2, and the Spirit of God came upon him. The Spirit of God came upon Balaam. Now, this is the first time this has happened during this entire encounter.
For the first time, the scriptures indicate that the Spirit of God came upon Balaam. Now, I also understand Balaam was neither filled with the Spirit nor anointed by the Spirit of Jehovah. It's important to note, because we see that when the children of Israel was in the wilderness and Moses brought those elders, those 70 elders, that there were elders with Moses and there was two that was left in the camp. And when the Spirit took the spirit that was off Moses and placed it on the elders, they began to prophesy. Two Eldad and Medad prophesied in the camp. Joshua, or one of the ministers of Moses, ran to Moses and said, "Hey, Eldad and Medad is prophesying in the camp. Make them stop." And Moses said, "I wish that all of Jehovah's people were prophets. Wish that all of Jehovah's people had the ability to hear." But these individuals prophesied. Balaam does not prophesy. Balaam gives a parable. He speaks parables, not prophecies. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up this parable. Now, when the Spirit of God came on the elders, they prophesied. Balaam takes up a parable. And notice here, I have one said underlined and one said bold in this particular verse. Now, you would see said and said and not think of anything of it. But for me, remember, when I read the Bible, I'm reading and I'm asking questions. And something about this particular, these verses, it just troubled me as far as understanding is concerned. And I did something. I looked up the two words said. So he took up his parable and said. Now, who's saying here? Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said. Now, the difference between the first said and the second said is that word hath said, meaning that something is happening here as I'm seeing it, because it causes Balaam to speak in the third person in reference to himself, which gives me the impression that it is not Balaam speaking, but someone speaking through Balaam, which coincides with the previous verse, that the Spirit of God came upon Balaam. And the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. Now, the word said in this passage is used 13 times. And you'll see that 7 times it's used as if Balaam is speaking. 6 times it seems as though Jehovah is speaking through Balaam. The first said with the underline is Amar, to say. So Balaam is speaking. In the previous verse, remember, it says, and Balaam spoke. Let's see. Verse 3, and he took up his parables and said. And so it's as if Balaam now is speaking, and he's about to speak a parable, but when he starts speaking the parable, it's not Balaam speaking. The word there is to say, to speak, to utter, to say, to answer, say it, to speak, as it is used. The second is, well, the first is Amar. The second is Nahum. Now, it's interesting, when I begin to look at how Nahum was used, it first time it's used, it's the angel of Jehovah speaking from heaven to Abraham. A voice coming out of heaven to Abraham. That's the first time this word is used. And here it's used as an utterance, a declaration. Now, here it says of a prophet, but Balaam wasn't a prophet. An utterance, a declaration, a revelation of prophet in a static state. And this is where people have to be very careful that they don't read something in the scriptures, but pull out what is actually said. Because sometimes you can look at these words, you can look at commentaries, and one's brain will kick in as if, okay, if Balaam is speaking for Jehovah, then he must be prophesying. But The question is Balaam speaking for Jehovah, or is Jehovah speaking through Balaam? Now, it may not seem like a difference, but in the sense it is. It's as if a person is caught up in an ecstatic type state, and what they're speaking is not coming from them, but is coming through them. And that's interesting as we look at these definitions. And what threw me off, what got my attention is that it is seemingly as if Balaam is speaking of himself in the third person. Now, whenever people speak of themselves in the third person, it shows something ain't right there. You see, it's like, you know, and Arthur said, and I'm speaking, you know, that as Arthur would say, well, who you talking about? I'm speaking of myself. That doesn't even sound right. So when Balaam starts speaking of himself, then again, that got my attention and caused me to want to dig a little deeper. So when Balaam speaks of himself in the third person, he says, his eyes were open, not my eyes were open. He heard the words of Jehovah. Now, look at what he says. He says, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said. And then he says, the man whose eyes are open has said. Well, who is that man? He's going to get a little deeper there as we go forward. But I want to show you again this word parable, which is mashal, which is a proverb. Nowhere in it does it refer to prophecy. Balaam is speaking parables or a parable. And then this word again said, noon, which is an utterance. Verse 4, he hath said, which heard the words of Elohim, which saw the vision of the Almighty. It seemed like Balaam is talking about somebody else. But who is he talking about? He's speaking concerning himself, and it seems as if it's not him speaking concerning himself. It's the Almighty speaking through him about him, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And so he heard the words of Jehovah. He saw a vision with his eyes open. And then he said, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Here at this particular point, it seems as if Balaam is not talking to Balak, but he's speaking words over Israel. Israel don't know these words are being spoken, but it's Jehovah speaking through Balaam over Israel in the presence of Balak. And what Balak is hearing is not Jehovah speaking, but Balaam speaking. You see, he doesn't know Jehovah is speaking. All he hear is Balaam, and Balaam is not saying what he wants to hear. As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord has planted, and as cedar trees besides the waters. He shall pour the water out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Now we know these words is pertaining to Israel. These words are coming out of Balaam's mouth. Balak is hearing Balaam speak these words, but these words are spoken concerning Israel, as if the Almighty is speaking and telling Balaam and Balak who Israel is, and even speaking concerning what he's going to do in them and through them, and ultimately what they're going to do to their enemies. And then he says, Israel shall be exalted above all nations. Verse 8, Elohim brought him forth out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Now, notice Balaam, when Balak sends for him, he wants Balaam to come and curse these people who has just freshly came out of Egypt, and they're licking up the whole land. Remember? They're just occupying all the land, and if we don't stop them, they're going to lick us up too. And he says, Elohim brought them forth out of Egypt. They didn't come out of Egypt on their own. Elohim brought them forth out of Egypt. And speaking of him, he's going to eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and piece them and pierce them through with his arrows. No nation is going to be able to stand before Israel. And then, verse 9, he couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blessed thee, and cursed is he that cursed thee. And so what he's saying to Balak, you know, if you try to curse them, you're going to be cursed. And Balaam is saying, all I can do is speak a blessing over them. I can't curse them. Of course, Balak don't want to hear these words. Now, I put here that because sometimes people hear Israel and they go to modern Israel, and that could be a mistake. That's not to say that none of Israel, of modern Israel, is not connected to Israel. But what I'm emphasizing is that you can't confuse Israel with Israelis. Here's a term that should never be connected to Jehovah's people. And in the land of Israel, there's a term that is referred to the religious Israel and secular Israel. That the majority of Israelis are secular. There's no such thing as a secular Israelite. And this is important for a person to understand, because a secular Israelite is one who has already abandoned the commandments of Jehovah. Jehovah did not call his people to be a secular people. He called his people to be a holy people. His people are to be holy as he is holy. The nation of Israel that he called is to be a holy nation. You can't be a holy people and a secular people at the same time. The distinction between the religious and the secular in the land of Israel is that both the religious and the secular reject the Messiah whom Jehovah sent. The religious Israel, the ones who practice Judaism are still looking for a Messiah as if the Messiah has not come. And sometimes people who are considered to be Israeli religious will say that they believe in the Messiah. Drill down a little bit. What Messiah are you talking about? Are you talking about Messiah Yeshua or another Messiah? And because they use the name Messiah or the term Messiah, people will confuse the language as if they believe in the Messiah. And there are Jewish religious people that speak and in churches, they speak in messianic assemblies, and they talk about a Messiah, but the Messiah they're talking about is not Yeshua. But people hear Messiah, they hear Lord, they hear somebody speaking religious terminology, they insert their beliefs into that, in that terminology, and accept those individuals as if they're part of the body of Messiah, when the fact of the matter is that they don't accept the Messiah that established the body of Messiah that we are a part of. Some of you know what I'm talking about. For the rest of you, you'll find out. It's always important. There's one question anyone who claims to be a believer of God that you can ask, And that is, do you receive the Messiah Yeshua as the one sent by God? And that'll cut to the chase. Anybody who say they receive Yeshua, the Messiah that was sent by Jehovah, that the church called Jesus, then one could say that that person is in alignment with faith. If one says, yes, I believe in a Messiah, he is to come, he's yet to come, don't confuse it with one who is going to return. You see, the one that is going to return, because a person can say, I believe in Messiah, and we're waiting on him to come. And a person who believes in Messiah, who's already come, will say, well, I'm waiting on him to come again. No, you're not waiting on him to come. You're waiting on him to return. There's a difference. Because people will use language to lead you to think something that is not so. And you have to be able to discern. Enough of that. So the Israel that is referenced here is not Israelis, although there are Israelis that believe in Yeshua, but there are Israelis who don't. All of the tribes, as referenced in verse 2, is what is being spoken of in this particular verse. It's important to also realize that not all tribes of Israel are Jews. Jews come from one tribe, and that is Judah. Jews come from one tribe, and that is Judah. There's not one tribe of Israel. There are 12 tribes. And when people now want to make all of the tribes Jews, they can do with the land however they want. They can put people in certain places and locations. But how many of you know the Almighty established and broke the land and assigned it to particular tribes? And so you can't erase tribal lines, call all of Israel Jews, become a homeland of the Jews, and a Jew can settle anywhere in the land. It doesn't work like that according to scripture. Now, it might work like that in religion, but it don't work like that according to scripture. Verse 10, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. Why? Because Balaam is opening his mouth and things are coming out, which is not what Balaam want to hear. Now, what Balaam did here is what some people will do when they leave the assembly. It's like, you ain't telling me what I want to hear, so you're fired and I'm gone. You're fired. Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. He smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called you to curse mine enemies, and now altogether you have blessed them three times. It's not what he asked for. Therefore, now flee to your place. In other words, you're fired. Get out. Get your stuff and go. I thought to promote you unto great honor, but lo, the Lord has kept you back from honor. Now, this is amazing that Balak will say to Balaam, you're not going to get paid because of the Lord. You work for him, let him pay you. Right? And because you're not doing what I'm saying, I'm not going to pay you. And it's his fault. So the Lord has kept you back from honor. So Balak employed Balaam and agreed to Balaam's terms, but in the end refused to pay Balaam, blamed it on the Lord, sent Balaam home empty-handed. Why? Because he did not get his way. He did not get his way. Now, Balaam now reminded Balak of what he had said to Balak, possibly arguing for his payment, for he had told Balak what he could only say, that he could only say what was given him by Jehovah to say, even if Balak gave him his whole house of silver and gold. So he made it clear. Remember the first time he sent for Balaam? Balaam said, no, I'm not coming. Balak sent another group more noble than the ones he had sent at first with more money. And he said, listen, even if Balak give me everything, all his silver and gold. Verse 12, chapter 24. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to your messengers which y'all sent, which you sent unto me, saying? In other words, Balak said, before you brought me here and agreed to pay me and to show me honor, did I not tell you what I could and could not do? But Balak wasn't hearing that. And sometimes when people get in their hearts what they want and they don't get from you what they want, what they perceived in their heart, even though you may have been very clear to them up front, they still got an issue like Balak. He says, Balak, if you would give me your whole house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of Jehovah to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what Jehovah said, that will I speak. And with that knowledge, Balak brought him in anyway. And now, behold, I go unto my people. And then there's something here in this next phrase, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Not in the days that is to come right now, but in the latter days. And there's something here. Now, one, again, who is Balak? Balak, and now behold, I go unto my people. Who was Balaam's people? Well, we discussed that in chapter 22. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Now, we looked in Deuteronomy 23, verse 4, to find out where Pethor was. And Pethor was where? In Mesopotamia. This is the land of Abraham. Because they met, Deuteronomy 23, 4, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of where? Of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Now, I want to point something out here, because oftentimes people will get stuck in a particular area. They'll ask a question that oftentimes if they just continue to read, the Bible can be self-explanatory if you read what the Bible has written and not necessarily get stuck. And sometimes you can search things out, especially if you've got some good Bible tools, and many of the good Bible tools are actually free. You know, one of the things that I was taught early on in my ministry is that you really need to learn how to do what is called a word study. And that means you look up words in the Bible. And then the other thing you want to do is, because every word does not mean the same thing, even though it may be spelled and pronounced the same way, it has different meanings depending on the passage or the verse in which it is used. So like I just pointed out, you can see said, and both of those says have two different meanings and used in two different ways in the same verse. So a word study is where you would now have a tool, something similar to the Strong's Concordance. And if you have a Bible tool on your phone, to where you can actually put in a word into that that Bible program and then search and find everywhere that word is used. Now, it's also important that when you do a particular search in a particular verse of the Bible, that you compare that to other places where that word is used but is not found in the search, which tells you that you're putting this word over in this passage because that word is there, but that word in that passage is not the same word as the word in this passage, even though it spells the same and it sounds the same. From your English vernacular, in the Hebrew, it could be a different word. And so Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, is where he was from. Remember, Abraham was from Ur of the Chaldees, a city also in Mesopotamia. Verse 14. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And so Balaam now is about to advertise. Now, this word advertise, yatz, is to advise, to consult, to give counsel, to devise, to plan. We're going to see in Numbers chapter 31 that the Almighty is going to kill Balaam or have Israel kill Balaam. But it's not just Balaam. Israel is going to go and smite the people that is going to engage them in the next chapter in some behavior that angers the Almighty, that's going to get a lot of Israelites' heads cut off. But in chapter 31, it tells us that Balaam instructed Balak how to cause the people to enter into fornication. However, we don't see in chapter 24, 23, or 22 where Balaam advises Balak in any such way. And yet, Balaam and the children of Israel in the next chapter, in chapter number 25, is going to start having immoral relationships with those women. And in chapter 31, it's going to be given to us that Balaam devised this plan to Balak. And all we have is this verse, this word in chapter 24. He said, come, and I will advise thee. And that word, to advise, to consult, to devise, to plan, is used as counsel, counselor, consult, give, propose, advise, and devises. Again, we can't find where Balaam gave specific advice to Balak, but we see the results of it. And we see who Jehovah accuses of causing Balaam or Balak or the children of Israel to enter into this behavior. So Balaam's word in this portion of Numbers, based on Numbers 31, indicates Balaam says some things to Balak that is not mentioned in this passage, but manifests itself in the next chapter. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, there it is again, one said and hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. So Balaam again speaks of himself in the third person. He hath said, which heard the words of Elohim and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. So Balaam heard the words of Jehovah, saw the vision of the Almighty, having his eyes open. Now, whether he had his eyes open to see the vision or whether he had his eyes open as far as a revelation as to who the Almighty is, you know, both of those conclusions can be drawn here. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. So the words spoken by Balaam are similar to the words spoken by Jacob to Judah back in Genesis 49, when Judah was spoken to by Jacob on his deathbed, saying, you are whom your brother shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between the feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So this seemingly as if it's speaking to David, which was from the tribe of Judah, the first king from the tribe of Judah, and who was prophesied that there will always be a king on the throne of Judah from the line of David. And then speaking even further toward Messiah, who is from the line of Judah, who now will be a king priest forever after the order of the king priest Malik Sadiq. Verse 18, and Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies and shall do violently. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And then the parable turns toward Amalek. And when he looked on Amalek, he looked up his parable and said, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perished forever. Now, the children of Israel had already smote Amalek. But this is speaking of a future whipping. Verse 21, and he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is your dwelling place, and you put it, your nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And basically saying that every kingdom that stands in the way of Israel is going to fall. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Ashur, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. And that brings us to the end of this chapter. Now, there's something else, and I've yet to locate it or identify it. But although Balaam's name will be mentioned several times from this point all the way into Revelation, because in Revelation we find that based on Balaam's behavior, there were those who followed the ways of Balaam. And based on this, this became a doctrine. And this is where we find these people who prophesy for profit. These people who will give you a word for dollars. These people who will pray a prayer over you if you pay them. It's like everything they do, and they'll use the word in order to justify. Well, brother, you know, as it said in the Bible, you'll see that when the people came to the prophets, they brought a gift. They brought a gift to the prophets. Now, if you really want, and they'll use Yeshua, whoever give a prophet a glass of water will not lose their reward. They'll use verses of scripture, but what it comes down to it, if you don't give them money, you don't get a prophecy. If you don't give them money, you don't get a prayer. If you're not on their giving list, if you're not a supporter, then they're not going to pray for you, they're not going to minister to you, and they'll even at times embarrass, and I've seen some things that, anyway, some of you all may have an idea of what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, these people exist, and it's important that we don't become like them, and as Revelation puts it, this now becomes a behavior which actually establishes itself as a doctrine, because now these people have taken on a behavior and a ministry approach to where it's all about blessing them in the process of blessing you or speaking a blessing over you. With that said, that brings us to the end of this particular chapter. And again, just want to remind you that tomorrow night we're going to be, for our premier teaching, dealing with offense, which is part three. And again, on Sabbath, we're going to continue in the Gospel of Mark. And in this portion of Mark, we're going to be dealing with the subject matter of marriage and divorce. Father, we just thank you again for this word. We pray your blessings continually upon us. Even in this Q&A time, we ask, Father, that you give us wisdom and insight. Help us to see the things that you will have us to see, and then show us how to put them into practice, how to apply the things that you reveal to us into our lives. To your glory, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Any comments, any questions? Anybody out there? No? Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for this study. And for those who have heard it and those who shall hear it, we pray that you will speak to your people, speak to you, to them, and even through them. Use them for your glory. As we prepare our hearts to give, we ask, Father, that you receive these gifts even as you receive us. May you be glorified in our giving and testify accordingly. In Messiah Yeshua, let none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, cause the windows of heaven to be opened, blessings in abundance poured out in so much a fashion, Father, that not only are they blessed, but they are able to be a blessing. We thank you for making us a blessing even as you bless us. Again, be glorified in us and show us whom you will have us to be a blessing to. In Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. Well, for those of you who are joining us online, if you would like to support our ministry, and if our ministry is a blessing to you, we encourage you to support it. You can do that on our website. Just simply go to the donate portion link on the website. It'll bring you to this page, and there are several ways that you can give to our ministry. If you're in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link and use that, and you will receive a charitable letter at the end of the year for your giving, so that you can, as we here in the States, have the ability to file our giving on our income tax. Those ways, Zelle, Bill Pay, Venmo, Cash App, check or money order in the mail, all of those ways are ways that you can give without incurring any kind of transaction fee or processing fee, meaning 100% of your contribution reaches us. However means you give, we certainly appreciate your giving. Amen. If there are no other questions or comments, we have a prayer request, which we will pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are always attentive to the prayers we offer, that you hear us. And Father, we stand in intercession, in faith, in agreement with our sister, Akbaret. We ask, Father, that you bless her even as she awaits this scan to come back as normal. As she is trusting and we're trusting with her, that proof of a complete healing and restoration manifests, we bless you and we thank you for her. We thank you for all that you have done for her. And we ask, Father, that you continue to show yourself mighty in her life and in ours. And for those, Father, who may not know how to pray or what to ask for in prayer, even at this moment, we pray, Father, that you search the hearts of your people. And those who are even uttering prayers upon their lips to you right now, Father, may your ears be attentive to those prayers, and may they see the results, the manifestation of all the prayers that are asked in accordance to your will in Yeshua's name. Again, we thank you. We bless you. And we pray your continual blessings upon your people in Yeshua's name. Amen. With that said, if there are no other questions, no comments, no other prayer requests, then we're going to bring our session here tonight to a close. Thank you again for putting up with us in this new lighting environment. And for those of you who are joining us again, you can submit your prayer request. If for whatever reason it didn't reach us in time, you can use the Contact Us link on our website. And there are a couple of ways you can get to that Contact Us link. One, if you're on our website and you go to the About page, you'll see that drop-down menu, and there you just simply click Contact Us. Also, you can go to the bottom of any page on our website, and you'll also find the link right there on the bookstore where you can contact us, and that'll bring you to this page to where you can email us, you can send us mail, or if you desire to visit us, just make sure you call ahead, make sure that we're able to meet with you. And of course, email and mail always work. So there's several ways you can contact us, send your prayer requests, send your testimonies, your comments, or whatever it is that you want to communicate with us. You can always do that. We're available via this link 24 hours a day. Now, we may not respond to you if you're reaching out to us at 12 midnight, but it'll be on our to-do list first thing in the morning. Amen? Receive your blessing. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for being here with us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Look forward to seeing you. Now, tomorrow is our premiere, Dealing with Offense. Sabbath is our holy convocation, marriage and divorce. And until Shabbat, Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.